I would invite you to take a Bible and turn to Ecclesiastes chapters 9 and 12. Now, if you have trouble finding Ecclesiastes, it's right after Proverbs and right before the Songs of Solomon. If you find Psalms, then you can find Proverbs, then you can find Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 9, 7 to 10, and 12, 1 through 8. As we think this morning about meaningful living. Go, eat your bread with enjoyment, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has long ago approved what you do. Let your garments always be white. Do not let oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that are given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. And in chapter 12, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return with the rain. In the day when the guards of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the women who grind cease working because they are few. And those who look through the windows see dimly. When the doors on the street are shut and the sound of the grinding is low. And one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. When one is afraid of heights and terrors in the road, the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because all must go to their eternal home, and the mourners will go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, and the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher is broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth, as it was, and the breath returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. All is vanity. By the way, we will not stop there later on, but that's where we will stop now. Charlie Brown and Lucy are talking. And in that comic strip, Lucy has a troubled look on her face. And she says, why do you think we're put here, Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown looks at her and says, well, to make others happy. There's a little shake in Lucy's head as she says, I don't think I'm making anyone very happy. Of course, nobody's making me very happy either. Somebody's not doing the job out there. In another instance, Charlie Brown is sitting in a room at the doctor's office. And he is obviously pondering the meaning of life, or at least the meaning of that moment. As he ponders the situation, he says, the kid in that room over there is going to have his tonsils out. The kid in that other room, he's getting a shot. I'm just getting a checkup. I guess the secret of life is to be in the right room. These are humorous, but as you know, Charles Schulz oftentimes puts some rather poignant and rather deep thoughts into the Peanuts comic strip. And maybe sometimes we find ourselves wondering, just as Lucy did, and just as Charlie Brown did, wondering just what is the meaning of life. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you already know, or maybe it really doesn't matter. But look around at our world today, and you will find different ideas as to what life means, and you will be challenged to ask what in the world does all of this mean? You'll find those ideas and those challenges from the comics to movies which deal with that question and ask that question. And by the way, as an aside, I know it'll surprise you that something just popped into my head, but as an aside, Life as a House is a movie that asks those questions about what really is important, with Kevin Kline. And it's a very gut-wrenching kind of movie. And I would not recommend it that you watch it with the younger children. But I would recommend that, and I would also recommend One True Thing with Meryl Streep. To raise those kinds of questions, and especially those questions when it comes to family. We find different ideas in TV shows to the horrors that we see on the news, to the heroes that we witness, even in the simple things in life. In fact, people of all faiths, cultures, and ages have asked this question: what is the meaning of life? And they search all over the place for it. Interestingly enough, among world religions, we all have talked, or many of us have talked before, about the fact that the fastest growing one in the world is Islam. The fastest growing world religion in the U.S. is Islam. The fastest growing Christian group in Africa is Pentecostalism. But I recently saw a report and watched a little news blurb that the fastest growing religion in the upper Midwest among 20s and 30 somethings is Buddhism. In fact, the largest Buddhist temple outside of the Far East is currently being built in Minnesota. People of all cultures, of all faiths, of all ages are searching for meaning. That which makes life meaningful. And they've been doing that for ages. Now, the teacher, who is in the text, actually in the Hebrew, called Koheleth, the teacher in Ecclesiastes, ponders the question in various observations and teachings throughout this entire book of Ecclesiastes. Now, many have equated him with Solomon, and he may have been Solomon. But whoever he was not afraid to search and to ask serious questions, trying to find answers. Answers to that question in particular: what does life mean? Some of what he says, we're not too sure about. Well, I guess it depends on your particular philosophy and way of viewing the world. In Ecclesiastes 9, 7 through 10 that we read a few moments ago, it almost sounds like an Epicurean philosophy. Epicurus basically taught, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. And that's almost what you find here as the focus of Ecclesiastes 9, 7 through 10. And some people find this as an excuse to pursue the pleasures of the world. He says, eat your food, enjoy your drink, enjoy the wife whom you love, enjoy the worldly things around you. Well, that is what it seems to say on a surface reading. But it is only a surface understanding. We have to remember that the author was unaware of many things that were to come later that God was to bring about through the prophets, and in particular, and especially through the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, who came to be the Christ. The underlying and recurring theme here is that earthly pleasures do not last. He says, enjoy them while you got them, because they're not going to last. They're not going to last. They won't bring lasting, meaningful life. In fact, we call those kinds of things temporal, don't we? That's one of the words we use to describe those kinds of things. Temporal, same word we get, temporary. Because they are temporary. And they only last for a particular time, and in the end, oftentimes, we end up with more problems and more questions than we had to begin with. As Christians, when we look deeply at the passage, we find an urgency to be satisfied with what joys God gives us on earth and to be diligent in doing the work we are called to do before this earthly life, which is temporal, is over. In many ways, it's a call to simplicity, I think. A reminder that all of these other things out here do not satisfy, and so instead of pursuing them, we should live life more simply. And it's also a call, I think, to service. Both of which can bring joy and meaningful living. To live life more simply. Now that's an odd thing to say, I guess, in our society, in our day here in the 21st century. Where you can find whatever on the store shelves. And we have instant coffee. Some of us do. Have instant tea, instant news, all that kind of stuff. But even those things are fleeting. Eventually, the batteries are going to wear out in the remote. And then you're not going to be able to find more. Eventually, our bodies are going to wear out. And it's going to be harder to get up and move around. Eventually, all the other things around us are going to go their way. And we will still be left looking for meaning and depth of life. In Ecclesiastes 12, 1 to 8, the teacher comes to a point where he seems almost to be defeated. If we go back and read that, he talks over and over again about how we need to be careful. And he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years draw near, when you will say, I've got no pleasure left anymore. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return with the rain, in the days when the guards of the house tremble and the strong men are bent over and women who grind cease working. In some ways he's saying, as the years creep along, and we start to creep along, that when we get to that point, if all we have from our youth is earthly pleasure, then we really are in bad shape. We are to remember God in the days of our youth, so that as we do get older and live our lives, life is more meaningful and meaning-filled. Why? Not because of the worldly pleasures and the earthly gains, but because of remembering God. He's tried everything, this writer. All kinds of things to have a meaningful life. And he has asked others and he has observed them. And eventually, the verse we ended with a while ago, he says, everything's meaningless. Vanity. Vanity. All is vanity. In other words, all is vain. But before we condemn him, we need to stop, I think, and think for a moment. Have we ever had those kinds of thoughts? What's it all about? Alfie? Is there any real meaning out there? Have we ever had those times in our lives when we wondered, is it really worth it at all? Something happens to us in life, and we wonder. Some pursue earthly gains only to still have tragedy strike. and the earthly gains don't fix the problem. Sometimes in these times we choose to simply survive, living day by day, or one day at a time. Some choose to pursue the heavenly will of God, and some seek to use that as escape. Oh, well, it must have been God's will, so that's going to make it all okay. And then later they're still crashing and wondering. Some try to find a path with God through the rough times, and with others through the rough times, to find true meaning later in life. As I said earlier, what we need to remember about the writer is that he was before the time of Jesus, and he was before the time of the prophets, and he was before the time that God did so many other things to show true meaningful living. Before Jesus came to give us everlasting living. Jesus states that there is even more than simply earthly life. For the things of God are far greater than anything that we could ever imagine or put together. Yes, we know scientifically something about why leaves change their color. And why they do at this particular point in the year. And we know how to make that good maple syrup, not just the fake stuff, out of the sap in the trees. But we know that because God has built that into it. And God has allowed us to understand those things. They are still from God, not from our own doings, no matter how bright we may think we are. But when we lose our focus and only see as we see, we lose sight of how God sees, and oftentimes we miss the things that God has for us here, not just in heaven, but the things that God has for us here in life, that makes life more than vanity, that makes life more than drudgery. So I said a few moments ago, I don't want to end with verse 8, though. For Koheleth has a moment of brightness and insight for us. Even though he comes to that point where he thinks, throws his hands up and he thinks, really, what is all of this about? And he says, this stuff's not going to matter when you get to Sheol, that place under the earth where everyone went, good or bad. When he finally comes down to it, he has a moment of brightness, a moment of insight. And that moment of insight is recorded in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 12. The end of the matter. And you expect him to throw his hands up and say, that's it, that's all. But he says, the end of the matter, all has been heard, then fear God and keep His commandments, for that is the whole duty of everyone. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, good or evil. What is the meaning of life? Or is there really any true meaning to life? How can we have meaningful living? I'm not talking about getting to the end of your life and having someone say, boy, he lived a good life. But I'm talking about the fact that you experience that even as you live, because we're called for meaningful living. That's the answer. Fear God and keep His commandments, for that is the whole duty of everyone. You might say, that's all? That's it? Of course. Absolutely. If we step back from just our way of looking at life and try to see life from God's perspective, we just might understand that this answer, which seems too simple to all the complexities of life, especially in the 21st century, we'll see that it is both simple and complex. It is a paradox. Life is complex, and we do not know all the answers, nor can we determine all of the answers, but we can know the one who does know the answers, God in Christ. And that's the simple and easy part. The complex part is to be obedient. Obedient in our study. Obedient in our loyalty to each other and to worshiping together. Obedient to God in our daily lives, seeking that which makes meaningful living. Then we will find not only that meaningful life, it will make God happy. It will make others happy. And even in the middle of all of the stuff that goes on, and this just popped back into my head, so forgive me. Even in the middle of all of that stuff that goes on, if we truly respect God and live by His commandments, a recent Koheleth or teacher would have a word for us. Bless the Lord, the day is good. And in that we will find meaningful living. Would you join me in prayer? Dear God, we so often look around and we search for things to make life more meaningful. We search for things to keep away pain and suffering. We search for things to entertain our minds and our bodies, and yet oftentimes that search, if it touches You at all, is just so cursory. Help us. Help us as we face all of the things that are available. Help us as we face our own living to look beyond that which is temporal and temporary, to find in You and Your presence, not only within us, but within others around us, ways to have meaningful living, even here and now, fearing and honoring You, and being obedient to Your commands. All we can do is place ourselves in Your care and trust in Your leadership. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is 396. Breathe on me. Remember the Lord from the days of your youth. Allowing God to breathe within you and to continue to breathe on you and within you, within each of us, so that we might truly find, as our lives continue, that they gain even more meaning. Not just for us, but for those around us who can then know of God's breath. Our altar is open for any who would make a decision, a first-time public decision for Christ, a decision to join with this fellowship and minister from here, or a decision to recommit to meaningful living. 396. Breathe on me.